It's running. Hey everyone, this is Rick, sending out some greetings to my Pathway family. Been missing you guys. Luckily we've had some good times, some good conversations in our Zoom rooms, and have appreciated the ministry of the musicians and Wendell and Lewis and everybody. Thank you a lot. Wanted to also say thanks for taking care of us when Christy and I were sick. We got shown a lot of love and have a lot of gratitude for really it's been you know, almost forging some better relationships and new relationships in weird times of isolation. And as a person who sometimes isn't the most social guy in the world, you know, this period of isolation has really made me value relationships a lot more. So hopefully that's a good change that's happened within me. I know we as a family and we as a world are going through a lot of changes right now, hopefully are catching some silver linings on that. So I miss you all. Look forward to gathering in person a little bit more, and keep saying that serenity prayer. Peace.
You ready to boogie?
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Pathway friends, it's Christy. I'm loved by Jesus, and I'm currently learning to let Him love me the way that I know He does, and also working on loving others and letting people love on me more. So, working on those things. I'm in recovery for anxiety, depression, guilt. I have a history of sexual abuse as a child, and some physical abuse. So, I mean, the list kind of goes on, and that's okay. That's my story. So, I think it's funny, though, that I'm not sure if it was Wendell or who it was that said, when you start recovery, you come to recovery for one reason, or maybe it's somebody else that you think, oh gosh, they need Jesus and I need to help them. But it's funny how this process has just opened my eyes so much to myself. And so I just want to thank you guys for just allowing the safe space for us to just be, for me to just be. And anyhow, Brené Brown, in her Dare to Lead book, she talked about hanging up your armor when you walk into the room. And so that's pretty powerful for me to hear, because I think so often, like, you walk into a room or a crowd or work or wherever it is that you're going, and you think, oh, these people expect me to be a certain way, and so you don't need to do that at all. She says you just hang up your armor and you present yourself as you are. And so that has really spoken to me to this week. So I hope I'm not a very good storyteller, and I'm not a very good joke teller, but if you guys want to sit down and talk sometimes, I'm happy to do that. Miss seeing you guys, and I hope you're having a great week. And if anyone needs to reach out to me, feel free to do that. And hope to see you guys soon. Take care.
Get a little drink of water here. Tell our folks, pray for me. There I was, empty-handed, crying out from the pit of my despair. And there you were, in the shadows, holding out your hand, and you met me there. Now, where would I be without you?
Think so.
Yep. So hey, Mathway, it's scalding hot outside. You've got the AC in here and it's still warm, but it's good to see you. Sunday night when you view this, hopefully it's a little cooler than it is right now, 2:00 Thursday afternoon. So anyway,
that'd be great.
Yeah. So I'm Wendell, and I'm being loved by Jesus. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. And I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse. and addiction to work, which is a puzzler to me because I enjoy working, so I don't know where the enjoyment stops and the addiction begins or whatever. I don't know that one. I've had issues with food, not near as much as I used to. Always dealing with control issues. I've had issues with pornography, with alcohol, with rage, panic, and depression.
Hi, Adam.
Hey.
I'm Lewis. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I am in recovery for racial and physical abuse when I was a kid, and I struggle with anger and anxiety and trust.
Hey, Lou. You know what? We just turned this camera on, but we had a long discussion before we turned it on, and you all need to know that we struggle just as grievously and with just as much frustration. And is the word angst?
Yeah.
As you do. This is Pastor Lewis. This is Pastor Wendell. We're ministers in the church. We're supposed to have our stuff together. There you go. It ain't happening. It ain't happening.
Those who know us know better.
Right? Especially ask our wives.
For real.
Yeah. So, but thank God we have each other and we have other people who can listen to us and help walk with us. That's part of the beauty of what we do in Pathway is we don't live life alone anymore. Which I lived when I was senior pastor in the three churches I pastored. I never even had a secretary. I didn't have a youth leader. I didn't have a music leader. I didn't squat. I had to do it all. And so I lived life all alone. I didn't have any superior to go to, no colleague to go to, nobody to go to really. And to be able to be here and have people carry the load with me, that's amazing, amazing. John Lennon and Paul McCartney wrote a song a long time ago, All You Need Is Love. And so I posted a blog about that Monday on my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. An old grade school friend of mine, who really kind of originally introduced me to the Beatles, writes back in kind of a pompous way. Well, you know, as years went by, Lennon and McCartney and Ringo Starr all reneged on that and said that you need more than love. Only George Harrison stuck to his guns, and I said, I think I'm with George. I think I'll stick with that. I had somebody say one time, I'm kind of unpacking this, then we can just jump in full force. I had somebody say one time, you know, it's okay. And this was a superintendent in the church I used to be in. So it wasn't a flunky. It was somebody who'd been to college, seminary, and was qualified, air quotes, qualified. Had all the ordinations they needed and all the diplomas and all that stuff. Had been in ministry for years and years. And they said, you know, the problem with grace is that if that's all you have, it lacks teeth. Remember they used that term. It lacks teeth. You need teeth to keep people in line. You need sticky things, pointy things, pool rules, consequences. There you go. Consequences. And if you don't, people will just be the sorriest things you ever.
They'll go all willy-nilly on you.
Yeah, willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, oh, that would be terrible. To go willy-nilly. Right. We ought to make up a dance called the willy-nilly.
You wouldn't want that.
No, no, that'd be crazy. We'd wind up hitting each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember even back then, when I was still living the rule-based religion back then, I even remember when they said that, something grated on me. Not grated on me, you know,
mm-hmm.
rubbed me kind of raw inside. I thought, I don't think I like the way they said that, even though I believed in we got to have rules, we got to have blah, blah, blah. Well, when I got in Celebrate Recovery and when Wayne and I started talking and when I got on staff here at Broadway, it's been a progression and I've become stronger and stronger in if we truly fall into the arms of love, God's love, and the love of each other, and we let it work its magic in us, that's all we need. We don't need rules. We don't need regulations. We don't need guidelines because, for one, love becomes our guide. That's one thing. But for the other, love satisfies those needs that we tried to fulfill by acting out. I don't need to lie to you anymore about who I am, because I'm good with who I am, because I'm loved just this way. Mm-hmm. So there goes my need to be a hypocrite. There goes my need to, you know, I don't have to try to impress you anymore, because I'm going to believe that you're going to love me on my good days and my bad days. Yeah. So I don't need a bullwhip behind me to keep me hyper-performing. I don't need that anymore. I could think of some other examples. But if we truly, and this is the secret, if we truly know we're loved, I started there. I didn't say if I truly love you. It starts with if I truly know I'm loved by God and by my people. Mm-hmm. That love transforms me to where I can love other people. That's a whole new paradigm. It's a whole new world to live in. Because now, when I meet with you, I think, how can I love Lewis? I'm not thinking, I better love Lewis right. I better keep the rules of love, the etiquette, the protocol of love, because I need to be able to grade myself on how well I love. It becomes about me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I come to you and I say, I have been loved, I want to give that to you, it becomes about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do I mess up? You betcha. But it's not a factor anymore.
I don't think that it's any kind of, I don't think it's a coincidence that when somebody asked Jesus, what's important?
Yeah.
You know, what's the greatest rule, if you will?
Yeah,
what's the greatest rule?
Yeah.
Is it love God, love people?
Yeah.
Everything else works out of that.
Yeah.
And if you know, by loving God and letting God love you, you automatically love other people. Because
See, that's where people get hung up. What do you mean automatically?
Automatically.
See, and you say, that's hard to explain.
It is.
But you have to fall back into it before that's what they mean by automatic.
It's the natural outcome of being loved by God is loving other people. If you don't love other people, you haven't fully decided that you are loved by God.
Yeah.
And that, because you have to know that you're not the only one loved by God. And if God can love them, you can love them.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think the same thing goes. A lot of people will say, I have a hard time believing that God really loves me because of what I've done. So you can't talk about this topic without talking about the topic of forgiveness and slash shame.
Mm-hmm.
So if I've noticed that back in the day, I had a really hard time forgiving people. And I didn't know why. Because I knew that Jesus calls us to forgive each other. So time out. There's a little rabbit trip. So I was watching some sort of series that was set back in the 1800s in England the other night. I don't know what it was. And certain people on this series were cast as believers. They went to the formal church and they were believers. So there was this person, this actress, I think it was a lady, an actress who was wronged by somebody. And so the person came back to them sometime later and said, would you please forgive me? And the actress who had been wronged said, I am a Christian and my faith tells me I have to, so I'll forgive you. And I remember thinking, that's not how it works. I don't forgive you because it's a rule that I have to keep. And so I thought, so why do I forgive you? And the reason I forgive you is because I'm so freely forgiven by God. And if I don't accept that forgiveness, I don't have much to give to you. And, you know, it's the same thing with love. If I don't receive love, I can't give it. If I don't receive forgiveness, I can't give it.
Yes. All right. Yeah.
So it's this healthy way of doing relationships all started with God. It was His idea, His design, and it was all based on loving us just the way we were. Naked and unashamed. not perfect. There's nowhere in the first two chapters of Genesis where it says we are perfect.
Right.
We are just human and naked and unashamed. And God said, that is good enough for me. I want to love you. Would you accept that? They said, yeah, buddy, we will. So every day they got together. He loved on them. They loved him back. And it worked.
And then, I would say, they lost sight of the fact that God loved them.
Yes.
And that's why they hid.
Yeah.
After they disobeyed God, they lost sight of the fact that he still loved them.
Yeah.
And that's why they hid from him.
And that's why he was curious, not about, did you disobey, but why are you hiding? Mm-hmm. That's the first question he asked.
Yeah.
I don't get this. I love you. Why are you hiding from me?
What you hiding from?
And the idea was, did you think that disobeying me would mean I wouldn't show up and want to walk with you? I'm still here.
Right.
Disobeying me changed your outlook on yourself. It changed how you saw yourself.
It didn't change
how
you see
each other.
Yeah.
But it didn't change how I see you.
Yeah.
You know, I already saw this coming. You know, I knew all about the fruit. I even told you about the fruit. I saw this coming. So I still love you. So to me, somehow we have to get past the place where our badness is too big for God to love, or too grievous for God to love. That God's love is the most powerful force in the universe, and there's nothing I can do to stop it. I can't do anything bad enough to negate his love for me. And when I receive, when I believe that, receive that now, I've got a foundation. I've got a firm footing from which to operate.
Yeah.
From which to love you and other people and all that. Yeah. And it's the other thing that I think this is so cool about this is when, not everybody's going to live in what we're talking about. In fact, the vast majority of people don't.
Yeah.
For one, they don't trust that God loves them. For one, they don't even think there's a God. But if he is there, he's mean, vengeful. I don't want anything to do with it. So they don't trust God. But when I know God loves me, and one of these people come to me and say, I think you're a dirty dog. I think your mother's stupid. Whatever, you know, they're doing all they can to insult me. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on this footing that says, but my Creator loves me. And what you say, I appreciate your honesty and I appreciate your conviction. But God loves me, and that's kind of makes your insult look kind of funny. You know? It changes my need to defend myself or fight back or.
All right, talk to me a little about that. I think one of the places where we're struggling right now in today's world, in today's climate, is this need to defend ourselves.
And our point of view and our
point of
opinion and our political stance and everything. Yeah.
And our belief system.
Yeah.
And how do we get past that? What's the, you know, what, how do we not lose sight of that? That we don't really have to defend ourselves because we're loved by God first and foremost.
Yeah, yeah.
And when people, you know, disregard us or don't listen to us or don't see us, the knee-jerk reaction is to defend ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how you live in that. How do you keep that out in front of yourself? That being loved by God negates your need or negates the obligation to defend yourself against whatever.
Well, I mean, today people are only hearing opinions and they're not hearing stories. They're not considering backstories. All they're hearing is, I hear what you just said about that controversial subject. That's all I've got in view. I don't see anywhere past that. So I think if we engage them on that level, okay, you said that you think the world is red and I think it's purple or whatever. So we're going to have a knockdown drag out about that. And I'm going to bring out all the evidence I got to prove that it's purple, and you're going to bring out all the evidence you can that it's red. And so, and if that's not enough, then I'm going to raise my voice. And if that's not enough, I'm going to get some more people to join my side. And it'll just escalate. And we're convinced that we can convert the red people over to be purple people. And I just have to ask the obvious Dr. Phil question. So how's that working for you? Because it's not.
It's not.
Because now we have people on the street corner yelling red-faced at each other this far apart. They're opposite opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got people running into people with cars. We've got people slamming each other on Facebook. We've got people because we're addressing people on the issue and not on the on who are you as a person.
We've lost the ability to see other people's identity.
Right.
We've lost the sight of every person all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
God is at work in that person all the time. We've lost sight of that.
Yeah.
And when we stop believing that God is at work in someone that we don't agree with,
right,
that's where this red faced,
yep,
you're going to hell because you don't agree with me,
right,
kind of argument comes out of. Is when we lose sight of the fact that God is at work in the person that doesn't agree with me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we've been saying this for the last 4 or 5 weeks, off and on. Just we've been sprinkling it in. But I just think about that one scene in the Mr. Rogers movie, where this guy who's the co-star of Tom Hanks is just yelling and mad and red faced, and Tom Hanks, who plays Mr. Rogers, just kind of calms. Just everything gets quiet. And he looks at the man and he says, I really admire you. I'm paraphrasing very freely here. But I really admire you for being a man of conviction. So he took the one good thing out of the yelling rant that he could find. The one good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I admire your conviction. I admire your passion. I admire, you know. And if we can't agree with anything else, or if we can't say anything else good about somebody who's opposing us, we can say, I appreciate, you know, there are a lot of passive human beings in the world. You're not one of them. You are actively engaged in life.
Right.
And you're actively engaged in vocalizing a point of view that you consider to be really important. And once you do that, it kind of disarms them. And then I think you can say, I'm just so curious how you arrived at that, you know. And I remember another time in the movie, didn't he invite, you've seen the movie, right?
No.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
I need to, but I haven't.
Well, there's another time in the movie where he invited, because the guy was just down on his dad, his own dad, and his dad was dying, and he didn't want anything to do with his dad, even in his dying day. And so Mr. Rogers invited him to start thinking about some of the good things your dad invested in your life, not just the bad things. It started, you know. And I wonder if we talk to people who are so opinionated, so one-sided, I wonder what would happen if we would say, do you have people on the other side, besides me, do you have people on the other side? Can you think of some good things you could say about them? Can you think of some encounters you've had with them that have been pleasant and good and have enhanced your life? You know, and begin to invite. It's not just me who wants to talk to you. It's these people who you know would love to talk with you. And there is room for dialogue if you'll stop just thinking one way. If you'll start to think.
I'm not asking you to change your mind.
No.
I'm just asking you to have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
And not just automatically write whoever you're having that conversation on. With
right
off,
right.
Not it doesn't have to be me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm saying have this conversation, and don't stop the conversation after you say your piece.
Right.
And keep the volume down.
Right. Right.
Make an attempt.
And you know what? You can tell when your hand starts reaching for that volume. I can.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell when it starts to come up, and I can tell when I'm starting to get riled. And all you got to do is, I think the best thing to do is say, you know, can we take 10 seconds here and just take a breath and not say any more?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I'm getting angry and I don't want to.
That's a great, you know, that's a great point. Taking a breath.
And letting them know, I'm just as tempted as you are to be angry.
Yeah.
I'm no better than you.
No.
You know, you're fighting the instinct to raise your voice. So am I. So let's just kind of chill here for a second. You know, look at that bird over in that tree, or look at, you know, and just chase a rabbit or two, and then we'll come back to this.
Yeah.
And because you know, in the midst of all this stuff that's going down that we see on the news, there are a lot of people doing a lot of things that the next day they wake up and think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I got caught up in the heat of the moment. And their friendships being destroyed, their lines of communication being torn down, that won't be easily built back.
And that's the first step. That's the first step.
Yeah.
It comes back to our steps.
Yes.
I got out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stop myself.
Yeah.
I didn't see God at work in that person.
Well, what if you said that to them? I did. Last night, our argument, I got out of control. I was intoxicated by my anger, and I didn't even take any time to see God at work in you. Think of what that does in that relationship.
Yeah. It opens it. It resets the power dynamic.
Yes.
It resets it to the point where there's no... When we go back on that conversation the next day and say, I didn't see what God was doing in you because I was blinded by what I wanted to do in you.
Yes. Say that again.
I didn't see what God was doing in you because I was blinded by what I wanted to do in you.
I think you just nailed a major nail right there.
And if we can get to the point where we can say that out loud.
Yes.
You know, and.
Yes.
Like we can get into an argument, you and I, over the Yankees. We'll pick the Yankees because nobody likes the Yankees but me.
I like the Yankees, sorry.
And so we can get into an argument about the Yankees. And I can get pissed off about it.
Yeah.
And the next day, because we leave the argument, you know, if we don't leave the argument saying, okay, we're just going to agree to disagree here. I love you. If we don't, when we come back to that and we say, look, I need to be confessional.
Yeah.
In this moment.
And yeah.
Say, I was more interested in what I was doing than what God was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's those are vulnerable moments. Okay. I apologize to you. What if you don't accept it? What if you don't forgive me? But you know, anytime that you really try to love somebody, you become vulnerable. You set yourself up for deep pain. So if you're going to love people, you're going to get hurt.
Yep.
If you're going to seek reconciliation, you're going to be disappointed from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth it. I mean, that's, God knew what he was getting into when he made us, and he made us anyway.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't blindsided by Eve or Adam. He's never been blindsided by any of my misbehavior or crappy attitudes. And it hurts him, but he loves us anyway. So I think I'm going to keep loving people, and I know it's going to hurt me.
Yeah.
because the other way sucks. I'm not going back to that. I'm only going to love the people I think are going to be nice to me. That makes me a hyper-control freaker.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm just, and I live in fear. I live in fear of rejection. I'm just not going back to that. I'm going to love all out, knowing I'm going to get slammed from time to time. But God will never slam you. You won't, will you?
No.
Okay. I thought I could count on you. But you know, you do have like 3 or 4 people in your life who you know would they would never slam you. They'd never throw you under the bus.
Right.
I think God gives us those people.
Oh yeah. I think He gives us those people as reassurance to show us that He loves us.
Yeah. This is what love looks like.
This is what love looks like.
In the flesh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I got to do it from afar right now. Or in spiritual form, not physical. Yeah. Wow. Well, all you need is love. Yeah. All you need is love.
Yeah.
All you need. Yeah. That's such a good song. I love that song. It's got some tricky rhythms in it.
Yeah.
During the verse part. But
personally, I don't think that McCartney or Harrison, I think the only one in the band that could count was Ringo.
Yeah, but it all came around.
Eventually.
Yeah, it all came around. Well, thank y'all for being with us.
Yeah.
We've kind of rambled a little bit, but...
this is what it looks like for us when we go back, you know, when... Before all of this COVID, this right here,
yeah,
happened once or twice a week,
yeah,
over, you know, turkey sandwiches, and
yeah,
carrot sticks.
That's his lunch. He ate these stupid little vegetable crunchy things.
Listen.
And he'd get these cheese sticks and he'd peel them and eat little pieces of.
That's called string cheese.
But
that's why I think they call them string cheese.
He eats the strings. And I'd eat the bologna sandwich. He was eating healthy and I was eating
old people.
Yeah. So, but anyway, we're still alive and breathing and it's good to be with you. And
yeah.
Anyway, so let's, there are no books up here.
No book. You didn't even get one this time. Like, nope, we're not even going to use one.
So we're going to see how it works. And if we screw it up, we'll
be quite honest. I think
it's probably how we did it last week because we screwed up last week.
We did. Okay.
So y'all get together and, by the way, thank you for the Jaspers for sharing tonight in the readings. And thank you for the people who contributed music. And thank you for watching. It's always fun to watch these things and chat with each other on the side column and see people join in and out. It's really, really good. So, all right, let's pray together. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, taking one moment,
enjoying or taking one moment at a time,
accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Keep coming back. God loves you.
And we do too.
And we do too.
Yeah.
All right. We go again.
Cut.